something you can't buy. You know, you can't buy more of. Thank God for time and for you using your time wisely to be here today, and those joining us live as well on Facebook and YouTube. Praise God for you. We want to offer our condolences to Jeannie Dismer and the family as we celebrate the homegoing of Miss Bebe Dismer. She lived a long life and such a blessing to many, many people. And so we thank you for being here today as we offer our prayers and encouragement to you today and pray for continued peace going forward. You think you're ready for mom to go home or your loved one to go home until when it happens. You know, it requires the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So we pray that today. So honored to have Jordan and Tim and Bailey and Maddox with us today from Wilmington, North Carolina. Amen. Maddox was 7 months old yesterday, and you heard him kind of singing there with the worship team and amening the prayers. And he's growing up in a wonderful, godly home. Thank you, Tim and Jordan, for being here today. They made a six and a half hour trip from Wilmington, North Carolina to be here today, and Wendy is out. And so it asked Jordan to be here. Amen. Awesome worship. Amen. Amen. We'll have a treat toward the end of the service as well. We're having our FCMI monthly ministers meeting here Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Normally, September, we have our annual conference where all the ministers from everywhere kind of come in. We do a Wednesday night banquet and Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. We've been doing that for years, many years. I don't know how many, over 40 years, an annual conference. And this is the first year, as far as I know, that we have not had an annual conference. And the presbyters and I got together and felt like it was not a good time to have the annual conference. So we'll have our normal meeting Tuesday right here at 10 o'clock. They'll come in and have a time of fellowship. And I want to invite you to be with us as well, from 10 to 12, and then we break and go to lunch. And Jordan will be our guest speaker with us Tuesday morning here at 10 o'clock. So welcome you to be here to hear Jordan encourage us and to bless us. And also congratulations to Steve and Karen Roth, a new grandbaby girl. And so amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. This thing's cutting in and out, I think. Amen. So it's always new grandbabies. They're just sweet as they can be. Little Bailey girl is a little over four years old, just turned four a couple of weeks ago. And so glad Bailey's with us. She's, as you see, a bundle of sweet, joyful sugar that G-Paw loves to get all he can. And I'm so glad that she's with us today, too. Amen. We've been in a series the last couple of weeks, and I feel like that we're in a time where we need encouragement to overcome, not to just get by. I feel like last week, as I expressed, that sometimes we're in a place of just getting by. If I can just make it through. But the Lord gives us the strength and the power to overcome. To not only make it through, just to slide by, but to overcome, to be more than a conqueror. That's the power that Jesus gives us and gives us through the Word of God. And if we're not careful, we kind of get stuck in challenges. We get stuck in places to where we're overcome with the battle rather than being the overcomer over the battle. And the Word of God is well at showing us how we can overcome, how we can be more than a conqueror. We don't look for trouble, but when trouble comes, we overcome. We face it, we get through it, and we're stronger. And we praise God that He's with us to help us through that. So today we'll continue in part three of this series that I believe that the Lord has put upon my heart. Our focus verse today is 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you have come that we might have life, but not only life, but more abundant life. You came so that you being in us causes us to be greater than anything or anyone in the world. You've called us, Lord, to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror through you. So, Lord, I pray that today our ears and our hearts will be open. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, but, Lord, a heart that will change us from this day forward to pursue you and to follow you in all of our ways. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember many years ago, I hadn't been married too long, that I had a flat tire on a car. And of course, being in your 20s, me trying to impress my new wife and do everything I'm supposed to do to be macho man. When I was offered help to change that tire, I said, no, thank you, I've got it. And so I found out pretty shortly that the tire was supposed to be on the ground to loosen the lug nuts instead of the tire being off the ground to loosen the lug nuts. And so there were some things that I didn't know, and I had turned down some good help that probably would have made my change of that tire a little less stressful and maybe a little more efficient. We learn through those things, but many times we decline good help when it's offered. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today. Talk about God being with us to cause us to overcome, and many times we go our own separate way and don't call on God. We live in a society that's godless. We live in a society that is about everything except God. God is kind of a second choice, sometimes third, fourth, fifth choice. We're going to try everything else before we turn to God. We live in a godless society. Well, in a lot of ways, Daniel was living in the same type society when this book was written, 600 BC. So in 600 BC, some of the challenges that Daniel faced, we face the same principles and challenges that right here in 2020, all these many, many years later. So it's amazing to see the parallels in the Word of God. See, what's the great and awesome thing about the Word of God? It never expires. It's never outdated. It's never version 2 or version 20 or version, you know, it doesn't have to be changed. The principles of God's word is there. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so one of the obstacles in Daniel's life and in the society that Daniel lived in was pride. Pride. Today, one of the major obstacles that we face today is pride. I want us to look in Daniel chapter 4 and learn some things that I believe God wants to show us out of the Word of God in Daniel chapter 4. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 1, to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. King Nebuchadnezzar was praying this peace and this blessing over all the people. I thought it good, Nebuchadnezzar said, to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. In these few verses, we see that Nebuchadnezzar was worshiping God. He was declaring the awesomeness of God. But yet there was a disconnect between Nebuchadnezzar and God. With his words, he was declaring God as awesome, but then with his heart, there was a disconnect. I guess it's kind of like we feel like if we come to church sometimes, there's a connection with God, but then our life, our principles of our life is far from it. So, you know, coming to church is good. It's necessary for us to be encouraged and to be with one another, to encourage one another, and to glean understanding from God's word together as a family. But that doesn't mean that we have a connection with God just because we come to church, does it? Our coming to church is out of a relationship with God that we want to come to church. Not that we've got to come to check the box that we're good. We're good for the week. And so we see through the words of Nebuchadnezzar, he was saying the right things. He was honoring God. He was declaring God. But we'll see that there was a disconnect between Nebuchadnezzar and God. Nebuchadnezzar was warned in a dream that if he didn't turn to God, that he would actually go insane. He would go crazy. He would lose his mind. He would have twisted or deranged thoughts. He was given a dream. And so we see in the world today, when we see deranged thoughts, when we see a pulling away of God, when we see crazy things going on, it's a sign that people have drawn away from God. God hasn't drawn away from people. People have drawn away from God. And so when we're not with God, when we pull away from God, everything will become chaotic. It'll become deranged. It'll be out of order. See, men get so smart and so wise that we think that we can do things our way, which is better than God's way, because God is so old and deaf and doesn't know where we are in society, that we can be smart enough to take things in our own hands. But when we do that, when we try to do that, we see, obviously, the result of that, and that is a chaotic situation, deranged thoughts, craziness, insane. And that is all around us today in 2020. We see things happening when people turn away from God that aren't of God. And the result of all this, really, the basis is pride. In Daniel 4:4, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house. I was at rest where I was. I was at rest where I was in life. And he goes on to say, and flourishing in my palace. So he was successful in his eyes and in all the eyes of the people around him. He was successful. He was flourishing. He was at rest. He was at peace. Everything was good. It was all under control. One version says that Nebuchadnezzar said he was contented and prosperous. We live in the greatest country in the world. We live in the United States of America. We live in the land of the free, in the place that if you put your mind to do something, you can do it. You can accomplish whatever you decide you want to accomplish in America. We see it all around us. We see people that work hard. They work hard. I remember years ago, this was back in the 80s, early to mid 80s, there was a Korean lady that had come over from Korea. And she and her husband got here, and they gathered up enough money to buy a little gas station. And they were bent on making it in America, and they did. They had a little cot in the back office of that office. I mean, just the office wasn't even big enough hardly to walk in. They slept there. They ate there. They ran that cash register. They were open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They worked. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. Matter of fact, a few years later, he died of a heart attack in his late 40s. What I'm saying is that we're in the land of the free, and many times we accomplish things that we think is successful. We accomplish things in life that we think makes us prosperous, but the very thing that's most important sometimes we leave by the wayside. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he was at a place of complacency or contentment because he had accomplished all these things. He was at rest. He was at peace. He was prosperous. He was well. He was content. And so many times it takes a life-altering, a life-threatening event in our life to get our attention, to cause us to snap back in. Have you noticed that sometimes prayers change with people when they're faced with life-altering situations? Their prayer changes. There is a way that we can be close enough to God to where our prayer continues when things are good, even when things turn bad. There's a place that we can rest in God that he can cause us to overcome that place, and that's what we want to talk about today. Can we be prosperous and still be close to God? Nebuchadnezzar was comfortable. He had no need of anything. And thought he had no need of God, but he was disconnected. He was self-reliant. He was prideful. Anytime that we ever try to become self-reliant, we try to disconnect from God, we become independent. You hear that word a lot, independent. Now, we raised Josh and Jordan to when they grow up to be independent of mom and dad, but to be dependent on God. Bailey and Maddox, they're being raised up to honor God, to be dependent on God, and when they become adults, not to be dependent on society necessarily, but to be always dependent on God. And so there's a place for independence, independence where we're not relying and we're, if this person does this, I'm going to do that. If this person doesn't do that, I'm going to do that. To be influenced, if you will, by society or be influenced by people. But we're to be always dependent on God. In good times and in difficult times. Self-sufficiency, where we're all contained, we're all consumed, we're self-reliant, will always lead to failure. Because if everything I've got in life, if everything that I need in life has got to come from me, there will be a shortfall at some point. But if I'm relying on God, if my life is dependent upon God, if I realize that the very breath that I breathe and the very heartbeat that will happen in just a second, if it all comes from God, I know that I'm relying on God. And without God, I can't do anything. That's the dependency that we've got to turn to God in. We can be strong and yet be dependent on God. It's because we rely on the strength of God and not on the strength of man or the strength that I have. My strength will expire. My strength will turn to tiredness. And so the story in Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He has a dream of a giant tree, the Bible says. And this giant tree was hanging over his country. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar thought this was the sign of a blessing because it was a healthy tree. It had huge branches, healthy branches, green, flourishing. It was loaded with fruit, the Bible says. Had big, beautiful birds living in it. It was healthy. It was a big, great, big, healthy tree, the Bible says. It was flourishing. The great blessing to his country is this tree hung over the country in his dream. But in his dream, the tree was cut down, the Bible says. And when the tree was cut down, it was left with a small piece of this tree left. And in my mind's eye, I would see maybe a stump left out of the ground. You know, as sometimes the tree surgeons can only get that tree so low, so they cut it off and it's left with a stump. And then the stump grinders come back behind them and cut it down to the ground, and you can saw it over it, and you never know the tree is there. Well, this tree was cut down, but left with a small portion of that tree left in the ground. And King Nebuchadnezzar had hoped that this tree at that point was talking about his enemies. His enemies would be cut down. So King Nebuchadnezzar sought after someone to interpret this dream for him and to say, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, this dream means this or means that. Well, he went to someone to have that, but the interpretation of that dream was not fulfilled. So King Nebuchadnezzar then turned to Daniel to interpret this dream. And the words that Daniel spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar was the truth, but it could have gotten Daniel killed. Because in Daniel 4:22, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, the representation of this tree is about you. Daniel said, it is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, this is a prophecy now, and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump. Leave its stump. Notice, God always leaves when we walk away from God. Has anybody ever made a mistake? Anybody ever sinned? Praise God, I'm among friends. When that happens, we think, well, it's over, I'm done, I'm going to live the rest of my life because my mistake has ruined me now. But that stump is a representation of hope that we always have while we're breathing, that we can come back to God and God will restore us. The word came a while ago, restoration. God will restore us as we come back to him. So that stump was left. Leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field. Now this is the insane state that happens when God is not present. Till seven times pass over him, this is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. Verse 25, they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know, until you acknowledge God, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. The misinterpretation of God's judgment is that God forces judgment on his people. That's the misinterpretation. The truth is this, that we place God's judgment on us when we turn away from God. So if I purposely turn away from God, God is not judging me. My actions have brought God's judgment upon me. You see the difference? And so my actions can determine whether I'm being blessed and favored by God, or my actions can determine that I am pulling away from God, therefore pursuing, opening myself to God's judgment, which is not a good thing. Proverbs 3:6, if you remember, says this: in all your ways acknowledge God. In all your ways acknowledge God. What's the promise? He shall direct your paths. And so many times the mess up is that God, show me your ways and give me your blessing, give me your favor, and then I'll acknowledge you. You know, we turn it around. But God says, acknowledge me in your ways, and I'll direct your paths. I'll give you my favor, my blessing. And so the cool thing is God has given us the ability to decide on our own who to follow and who to pursue, who to live our life after. Whether to do like King Nebuchadnezzar was doing and accomplish all these great things that make us so successful and prosperous and everything going well, to choose those things and pursue those things, or to pursue God and let God bring those things into our life. It's our choice. It's your choice. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, as we see, did not acknowledge that every blessing that he had came from God. And so there was going to be a time limit on how long he would enjoy his man-made blessings, but it will be based on Nebuchadnezzar's decision. Do I really need God, or can I make things just fine without God? Can I do this on my own? I think I can. I don't really need God's help. Not that he's not good, I just don't need. God is good all the time, but I don't really need his help. I'm good here. You see? And so many times we get to that place, we don't recognize it. Maybe we don't see that we're there, that we've placed ourselves in a situation that we're reliant on us and people and things, even material things, more than we're relying on God. We must always honor God with our life. We should never take the credit for the blessings of God. We see Nebuchadnezzar did that. He was taking the credit for the blessings that came from God. Even the work of our hands. Even the work of our hands comes from God's blessings. Even our talents and abilities, anything that we can do, it's not us doing it. It's God giving us the ability to do it. And if we're not careful, if we take the credit for it, it can stop just like that. It can stop. Everything that we have, everything we are, everything that we'll ever accomplish will only be done through the hand of God. Daniel 4:26. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom would be assured to him after. You may want to underline that word, after. A-F-T-E-R. His kingdom would be assured to him after you come to know that heaven rules. You see the key? It's really simple. There's nothing that we should overcomplicate that with. It's simple that after we come to know God, after King Nebuchadnezzar knows God and declares that heaven rules, can he have the kingdom that shall be assured to him? The promise will follow the obedience. The promise will follow the obedience. So the king's blessing would take root, no pun intended. The king's blessing would take root after he committed to following God in all of his ways. Not God, I know best, and I rule. But God, you know best, and you rule. Heaven rules. The further the world gets away from God, the more crazy the world will get. The more wise the world becomes in its own eyes, the more crazy it will get. The further it will get away from God. See, there's wisdom in our own eyes, but when we look through the eyes of God, we see truth for what it really is. We can see things through a different perspective. 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very familiar passage. If my people who are called by my name will, there's three things here, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. See, that's placing our dependence upon God. That's placing a humility, a humble spirit before God. I humble myself, I pray. I seek the face of God, not my own face or my own ways, but I seek the face of God and I turn from my wicked ways. Then, the Bible says, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Isaiah 66 verse 2 shows us a dependence upon God. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look. On this one will I favor. On this one will I esteem. On him who is poor. Now, it's not talking about financially poor. It's talking about poor in spirit, humble in spirit. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about you've got to be poor and not live in a house and live on the streets and eat breadcrumbs. He's not talking about that. The one that I will look on, the one that I will favor, the one that I will esteem, the one that I will exalt in due time is the one who is poor, humble, and of contrite spirit. Humble in spirit. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for our heart to be tuned toward him. Our ear to be tuned toward him. How can we do that 24/7, 7 days a week? We can do that by that being the basis of our life. God, I thank you for this new day. And whatever you have for me today, you're giving me the strength to face it and to overcome it. Only by the power of God. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Gives honor to God. God honors those who honor him. God exalts those who exalts him. You see, it's a dependence upon God. It's a humility before God. Staying humble before him. Daniel 4:27 through 37 says, this is Daniel speaking, therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. You see that? There will be a lengthening of his prosperity if he were to turn his face toward God. So Daniel was talking straight to him. And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28. This is after King Nebuchadnezzar did not listen to God's warning. He stood in his own self-righteousness, his own self-reliance, his own self-dependence. And at the end, verse 29, at the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power?" Wow. How blind can you be? After already being warned, I have built this thing. I have built this royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. While the word, verse 31, look at this. While the word was still in the king's mouth, it had just came out of his mouth, a voice from heaven, an angel of God spoke this. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. Wow. Those are some words that we would never want to hear. And they shall drive you from men, the angel told him, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. Seven times shall pass over you until you acknowledge, till you know, and acknowledge that the Most High, notice capital M, capital H, talking about God Almighty, Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the Bible says, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown out like eagle's feathers and his nails like bear claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, see, he's finally, wow, maybe I should do something. Maybe I should make a decision here. I, King Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes, well, and he dropped the word king as well. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. In other words, I came to my senses, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. This was proof that God is always ready to restore those that walk away from him. When you go even as far as King Nebuchadnezzar went, God is still ready to restore. He's not withholding any good and perfect gift. When we come to God and say, God, I finally come to my senses. I realize that I am foolish. And I thought that I was so great, and I've just found out that I'm not. God restored King Nebuchadnezzar, and he continues. He said, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion. God's kingdom, his kingdom, is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar has just totally changed, hasn't he? And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain God's hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason, Nebuchadnezzar, my reason, my sanity, my mind returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added to me. It was greater than ever before. That's the favor, the esteem, the blessing, the provision of God. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All of those works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Nebuchadnezzar turned to preacher real quick. Man, was he preaching. He learned that he had to acknowledge God. And if not acknowledging God, it would cause him to fail. That's exactly where we are today. God is encouraging us to be an overcomer. God has the strength and power to do everything that you need in your life done today. Whether it's a healing, whether it's a miracle of some sort, whether it's a relationship. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. God is here to tell you today that he wants to cause you to overcome that situation in your life. To overcome it to the place to where it's under your feet. It's a stepping stone. It places you at a higher level to where you're able to climb even higher. Not to be pinned behind that thing to where it's stopping you from going forward. God is not a God to stop you from going forward. God is a God to promote you to going forward. For nothing to hold you back, for nothing to stop you, nothing to hinder you, nothing to slow you down, nothing to chain you down. God is not the God of bondage. God is the God of freedom. And so Nebuchadnezzar learned that his acknowledgement of God was just that. It was a God of freedom, a place of freedom. Let me tell you that today, Corona is not a place of bondage for God's people. God will use Corona to free God's people. How can God do that? I do not know. I'm just telling you what God will do. What Satan means for harm, God will turn around for good. God has never lied, and he will never lie. There are four actions that I want to leave with you today, four actions that we must take in order to be an overcomer. The first one is acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. God, I acknowledge you. You're there for me. You're not showing favor to someone else more than you're showing favor to me. See, we get the favor of God by acknowledging God. The Bible says he's no respecter of person, and he's not. But he does show favor to those who turn to him. The one walking away from God does not have the same favor on them as those who are following God. Why? It's not God's fault. It's not God looking at those two people differently. It's the way that those two people are looking toward God. One is away from God, and one is toward God. The one toward God will be honored, extolled, exalted, favored. Acknowledge God. We've got to first acknowledge God. Number two, turn to God. Turn to God. God, I not only acknowledge you. See, it's not good enough just to acknowledge God. That's good. We start with that. We acknowledge God. God is all powerful. He's all great. He's almighty. But then we've got to turn toward God. God, I choose for you to be the center of my life. I not only acknowledge you and your greatness, but Lord, I want to apply you to my life. Colby, you know the programs that run that sound booth up there and the things that you've got set up for us, it's no good until you hit apply. You can go through that program and set up the parameters and do all this mumbo jumbo and do all that stuff that they know about doing. And until you hit apply, it doesn't take effect. It's the same way in our life. We can acknowledge God. God, I'm in Bible study. I'm going to church on Sunday and I'm doing this and I'm tithing and I'm doing all these. But until I place God, until I apply God to my life Monday through Saturday, what good is Sunday? I know about him, but is he the center of my life? I haven't applied him to my life, to the situations that I have control over, that I'm manipulating, that I'm trying to work around. Well, if I can make this happen, God, you can understand, if I can make this happen, this will all turn out really good for you. Well, God doesn't need my help. God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need us to manipulate anything. He needs us to trust him that he'll work all these things out for his good. Turn to God. Apply him to our life. Number three, walk with God in humility. Walk with God in humility. Do what King Nebuchadnezzar did. God, I thank you for all these things. I thank you for your blessing. But God, without you, I am nothing. See, King Nebuchadnezzar found out that he was nothing but a stump without God. What's a stump want to do? We've got to have God in our life. We've got to walk with God in humility. We've got to walk before him humbly and say, God, I need you in my life. I need you to direct me. These things that I've got coming up this week or next month or whenever it is, I need you to show me the way. I need to walk in humility before God. And number four, confess the Lord every day. Confess the Lord every day. You say, well, why does the Lord need to be reminded of him being Lord of my life? Listen, it's not about God being reminded. It's about me reminding myself that God is God. Me confessing God is not stroking God's back and saying, good boy, God, you did good. He doesn't need a pat on the back from us. What it does show is that I'm confessing God for me, for my ears, and for those people around me. I'm reminding myself, God, you're God. You're awesome. I confess you. I declare that you are God, that you are King, that you are everything in my life. I'm confessing that so that it reminds me of how big God is, not reminding him how big. He knows how big he is, and he's not arrogant. But I need to remind myself. Tomorrow morning, God, I thank you. I confess that you are God. You're a King. I need you at the center of my life today. I need to see things through your eyes, God. Don't let me do things my way. Let me do things your way. My confession is for my sake. My confession is for the sake of my atmosphere so that people will see God in my works. It's not bringing attention to me. It's not bringing attention to my abilities or my work. It's bringing attention to God because it's only by God's hand that we can do what we do. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God gives us a promise that he will lift us up in due time. But it begins with us looking toward God, placing him at the center of our life, following him in all of our ways, walking with God in humility, and confessing him every single day of our life. We were watching a movie a little while ago, And in that movie, a little boy, a little 10-year-old boy, has asked his grandpa for a horse. His grandfather was a rancher and successful rancher, and so this little boy saw that all the cowboys had a horse. So he told his grandpa, he said, "Grandpa, I want to be a cowboy." His grandpa was proud. He said, That's great. That's good, buddy. Because all this ranch, everything that you see here is going to be yours one day." So the grandpa was proud that the little 10-year-old boy wanted to be a cowboy. He's proud of that. And the little boy turned to his grandpa. He said, "But there's one thing that I've discovered." Of course, his grandpa was all ears. He said, "There's one thing I've realized. I'm going to be a cowboy, and I want to be a cowboy like you, but I don't have a horse." So the grandpa said, "Well, what are we going to do about that?" He said, "Well, Grandpa, can you buy me a horse?" He said, "Well, I could buy you a horse, but how are you going to pay me back?" So the little boy just looked at him. And the comment that the grandpa made back to the little boy was, "If I get you a horse, what are you going to do to take care of him? If you don't feed him, he's going to die. If you don't take care of him, how's he going to be healthy?" The boy said, "Well, I'll do it, Grandpa. I'll feed him. I'll take care of him. I'll make sure he's good." So the day came when the grandpa unloaded the horse out of the trailer. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful horse. And so the grandpa and the grandson were standing on the wooden fence there as the horse was unloaded off the trailer, and the horse was just kind of running around the ring there. And looked over, and the grandpa said, "Okay, buddy, there's your horse there, but I want you to remember something. The way that you take care of the horse will determine how this horse lives." And I tell you, that hit me like a ton of bricks. God is saying to us today, "Here's your life. I'm putting things in your hand for you to make a decision. And I'm giving you all that you need, the tools, the provision, the favor." You know, some would say, "Well, you don't understand the things that I've been through in life. You don't understand the tough times and the things I've had to deal with." We're all given life. We're all given some things that we didn't bargain for. We're all given some times that we wish that we could undo or redo or delete altogether. But the fact is, God has given us life that however we apply ourselves and however we apply Him into our life will depend on how we live. We've given a great responsibility, but we've also given a great gift. We've been given the gift of life, the ability to follow God in all of our ways. And when we come to the place where we say, "God, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for giving me life, but Lord, I want to acknowledge you in my ways." Until we come to that place and we feed our spirit man. See, we can only survive spiritually as good as we're feeding ourselves spiritually. If you notice, God doesn't force anything down our throat. He doesn't say, "You're going to serve me or I'm going to bop you in the head." He's not a forceful God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He even allows us to make mistakes, and still He's our loving Father. But we've been given today, September 13th, 2020. If God tarries, we'll have tomorrow. It's all in God's hands. But what will we do with our relationship with God? How will we feed our spirit man? What will we do to bring life to ourselves? God has given us the tools. He's unloaded the trailer. This beautiful, healthy horse is right before us. Forget the past. Forget the hindrances. Forget all the things that have held you back. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. How will we serve God? Will we be prideful in saying, "God, I don't need your help. I'm okay. I'm all right. I can figure this out on my own." Or are we going to say, "God, I acknowledge you as God. I want to apply you to my life. I want to serve you." Listen, it can be for the new Christian coming in, or it could be for those that have been in the way for 60 years. It's a decision we've got to make every single day. If we don't make the decision today and tomorrow, every single day, make that decision, we're liable to become prideful and arrogant and fall by the wayside and not be able to pursue God in the way that He wants us to. God wants to bless you. God wants to favor you. God wants to bring miracles in your life like you've never seen before. But you know what? It's not really up to God to do those things. It's up to us to follow Him. It's up to us to say, God, I want to receive you. I want to apply you. I want to know and acknowledge you, not just as a God that we read about in Daniel, but a God that I know about in my own life. That you perform miracles, that you do things, as Jordan was saying a while ago in your worship. God, you've caused these things that should have been bad, should have been life-threatening. God, you saved me for today for a reason. And it's only by the hand of God. It's only by the hand of God. God wants to bless you today. I want to encourage you. Jordan, worship team, y'all come on up. In Numbers chapter 6, at the end of every service, we close with a blessing, the Father's blessing, called the high priestly blessing, that we receive God's blessing, His favor. And today, in these next few moments, I'm just going to invite you to sit. Just sit in the presence of God for these next few moments. I wanted to allow time to where we sat in God's presence these next few moments. I believe God ordained these next few moments for a reason, to encourage someone here today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and sing this song that was written, The Blessing. And that as you hear these words, you'll apply the blessing in your life today. God wants to touch you. God wants to bless you.